coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they help you keep your eyes on the prize. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, regarding the media, they definitely help you keep your eyes on the lies. Ooh, that's a good one right there. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because my CB career wasn't going anywhere. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's a fun one for a Monday. Sometimes the questions are very probing. Sometimes they're fun. Here you go, keeping it simple. What's your favorite food at a fellowship potluck? Oh, see, that's fun, right?
That's a really good one, Dave.
Like, what, when you go to a potluck, okay? And remember, it's called potluck for a reason. That means if it's good, you're lucky. Anyway, so the bottom line is, what's your favorite food? Oh, this is my favorite thing to get.
Two fishes and a piece of bread.
Which I will comment to that. Every commentator goes, oh, that's just a kid's lunch. That kid must have been like Fat Albert because he had five loaves and two fishes. That could feed a family. But anyway, we'll just move on from there. Bottom line is, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness because, gosh, that's sad. Just reach out to us. It won't hurt you. Just give us a call. It's simple to do. It's a phone number. It's not overly complex. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D. Let me tell you what that's like, friends. That's like heading into the week with great faith and expectation.
I like that.
There you go. So for all those people that have gone through a tough weekend, we're here to lift you up. And for those that are facing the week, we're here to lift you up. And for those that are facing from the weekend and the week, we're here to lift you up. Bottom line is you can call us at that number, 972-445-0770. We'll pray for you if you need prayer. We'll give you an opportunity to share your testimony. We'll be there for you. It's not a kvetch fest. Those are have their place and have their time. Right now, that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is encouraging one another, functioning off of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we encourage one another as we see the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. If you decide, you know, calling, a little scared. Okay, no problem. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice now. 214-210-8483. You can text us anytime during the show. As well, you can send an email anytime during the show, which is kind of fun. The email address is david@hemusincrease.org. Yes, it's safe. Nobody gets that information but me. Nobody gets to see it but the board. It's just simple stuff. You can email us at any point during the show, after the show, at any time. We'll be glad to engage with you, talk to you, connect with you, and do whatever we can to help. Also, we're going to send you up to the website, and there's a couple things to tell you about the website. On the website, for those that are newer to the show, it really explains the show. There's this huge question mark right in the... No, I'm kidding. Anyway, it explains the show. It gives you an idea of what we're trying to accomplish and where we're trying to head. And the whole goal in all of this is for all of us who are Bible-believing, born-again Christians to take one step closer to Jesus. Because you give me all the stuff you can, you give me all your answers, you give me all these things, and I'm telling you right now, the answer is more of God. And that is the answer. You're going to find out that is the answer, not just now, but for all eternity. That is the answer. As well, on the site, there are different things. There's brochures, and there's business cards and bumper stickers. They're all free. And then additionally, if you decide you want to partner with us, it's an easy way to do it. You click it right on the website, the little thing that says donate. It's 100% tax deductible. We'll start with this scripture today. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion or in manipulation, we should all add. But God loves a cheerful giver. So when you give, make sure you got the right spirit to do it with. Do all that on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka.
All right, everybody over 50, just smile. That's hilarious. Anyhow, we're going to get into our text. We are actually in the book of Timothy. We're in Timothy, and we are in chapter 4. We're at the end of chapter 4. We're going to get there in just a second. But first, I want to pray over everybody. Is that okay? That doesn't hurt, right? Can't be hurting to pray, right? You take your faith. I'll take my faith. We'll take all our faith. We'll put them together. Two or more agree upon touching anything. It shall be done. Let's do it right now together with one another. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. And for all of us throughout yesterday and the day before and the day before and the previous week, a lot of stuff goes on for us, Lord. You know that. You know that sometimes the things of the past pull at us and tug at us. And even things as of yesterday pull at us and tug at us, Lord. But what we need to do, Lord, is what you teach us in your word. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and pressing forward to the things which are before me. So there are some people out there, myself included, Lord, that need to just go, you know what? That was then. This is now. Forward I go. Because, Lord, your word, you teach us in your word, Revelation 21:5, I make all things new. Make them new in our hearts and in our minds as we go into this week. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, there we go. Rock and rolling into 1 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 4. We are technically at verse 13, but we're really going to focus in on 14 and 15. Let's look at verse 13. It says this: till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Okay? Wow. Let's just stop right there, and then we're going to get into this. So Paul goes, hey, until I get there, until I get to see it, because I'm not going to see it for a little bit here, you know. Hey, young fella, hey, give attention to reading. What's reading? Reading is the Bible. Is that in the public format? Yes. Is that in the private format? Yes. You think, well, what makes you so smart, Spoon? Well, nothing. nothing, but I have spent quite a bit of time in the educational realm, getting a BA, a master's, and a doctorate, trying to figure out what can I do to understand how to share better and communicate better. Why? Because it helps me draw closer. And you know what? You can tell me everything you want to tell me. Drawing closer to the Lord, that's the key. That's it. We don't want to be like Adam and Eve. You sin and you run away and hide. You know what? In fact, in the law, so we can be understanding it, the priest went into the very presence of God one day a year, Yom Kippur, dealing with what? Sin of the nation. You don't run away from God when you sin. You run to him. That's what he stated in the law. And now through Jesus, we find that redemption, that freedom, that forgiveness. Like, okie dokie. Let's do that. And so here's the bottom line in verse 13. Give attention to reading, personal and private, and public. Exhortation, personal, private, and public. To doctrine, personal, private, and public. You think, what do you mean private doctrine? I spent, I would say 15 hours, but I'll just pull it back because that's an exaggeration. 13 hours, okay, in this last weekend studying pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me. You got to do it personally as well as publicly, as well as in every other thing. And encouragements, don't drop things in your heart and mind that discourage you. Pick up things that encourage you. That's the whole point, isn't it? To strengthen each other and to give each other courage and to get that courage in your presence, in the presence of the Lord when you're hanging out with him and fellowshipping with him. Verse 14, oh, hang on. Remember, I didn't write this. I'm just pointing that out. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you that was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Stop right there. A lot of people have a gift or have multiple gifts, but certainly a gift that comes from the Lord, something gifting, something grace, some charisma, some kind of form of ability to help, to bless, or whatever. This is one of the reasons why you are commanded to be in fellowship, because you have a gift, and a body or a fellowship or a group might need that gift. If you don't fellowship, you're not doing your part, they're not getting what they can get. And that's not the way to go about it. So the first thing he says is don't neglect the gift. Now, God has bestowed on each of us a gift in some way, shape, or form. It is unique to us. It's connected to us. And we fail to exercise or develop or grow in that gift, we're not doing the kingdom of God any favors, and we're not honoring the Lord. If God has gifted someone to be preaching or teaching or other ability, there's a need for continual growth and development of that gift, but you can never do any of that outside of fellowship. Can't be done. I'm going to develop my gift of prophecy right here with me and my stuffed animals. Hey, guess what? That's not the intent, right? Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Uh-oh, here's the part that nobody likes. Being Baptist is the best because I get to like, oh yeah, it's so great, right? Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Paul just lays out how the gift came to Timothy. And I just want you to say, I want to say this. Can you imagine some churches today, how they might view the idea that gifts can be imparted by laying on of hands, especially powerful gifts like prophecy? It should be noted that the power of the Holy Spirit transmitted this gift through the elders of the church, and Paul says, don't forget that. People are thinking, well, that can't happen. Okay. Right. See, the Holy Spirit came on people multiple times, but this is really specifically a gift, and it was given as the elders of the church prayed, and it was bestowed on Timothy, and Paul goes, don't forget. Don't forget that. What we tend to do is go, oh, I don't know what to do with that. How about you remember it? Because that will bless you, right? All right. Before we carry on any further, because some of you are probably going, this show is so weird.
Dave, like but weird in a great way.
Yeah, though. I mean, you know, it's weird and it's like, that pizza tastes bizarre, but I like it, right?
That type of way.
Yeah, okay. Here you go. Here's your first trivia question. What king threatened to cut a child in half? What king in the Bible threatened to cut a child in half? That's not very nice. If you think you know the answer to that, you are welcome to call us. It's live right now, happening right this moment at, 1:45 in Texas time and 11:45 in Cal time. There you go. 972-445-0770. If you think you know that answer, call in. Text 214-210-8483. Doesn't hurt to text. I have no idea what your plan is. I cannot tell you if it costs any money, but it probably doesn't cost much. And then also David at hemustincrease.org. That's D-A-V-I-D, David at hemustincrease.org. That is what is on the table. We have somebody who's calling in. The king threatened to cut a child in half. Ouch. Wow. Who is that? Okay, we have a caller. Let's see who it is. Send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. How you been feeling this week?
Well, I have felt better, I'll be honest with you.
Okay, that's right. Well, we want to pray for you because we love you. But this is a great question because some people think, what kind of counsel is this? But powerful counsel it was, demonstrating his wisdom. Let's go to it. What king threatened to cut a child in half?
King Solomon.
That is correct, Amundo, sir! You are so correct, and that was just brilliance because it was the real mom that went, oh, no. No, 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 not the grieving mom, which tells you quite a bit in the process. Excellent job, by the way, Gary. All right, so let's pray for you. Everybody, combine your faith. Let's pray for Gary. He needs to have a better week than he had this last week, so let's pray for that. Father, we come before you and lift up our dear brother Gary and ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit into his body through the name, the power, and the authority of Jesus Christ. Bring healing into his body. He cannot do it without you healing him. He cannot move forward without you helping him. So we are fully dependent on you. We offer up the little faith that we have, but that little faith can move mountains and can heal by your power, by your authority, by your anointing. So we lift it before you and pray for our brother in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. And I prayed for all of you yesterday, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, man.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, let's get back into the... We just roll... We're not taking a break. Break? I doubt we'll see too many more breaks in the first 30 minutes of this show, but we'll see. Some people are going, maybe you should take a break. I need a breath. Okay, that's right. Here we go into the next portion of the text. So we just looked at that one text, and he says, look, don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. All right, here's something that I just love, and people get weird about stuff like this, but I don't want you to. I want you to understand it. Verse 15, ready? Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So you read something like that, and you say, wait, meditate on these things. What is that? So should I go out there and go outside in my front of my yard and put my leg up and put my two hands out like I'm going to snap in both fingers and then go, hum, hum, hum. No. To meditate on something is to think about it, to roll it around in the mind. It actually means to bake in the mind.
Dave, the scripture that I have, the version of it, should I say, it says, immerse yourself. And I just thought about it. I said, to not do that exposes yourself to so many issues. You have to immerse yourself in. Like, that's very powerful when you think about that.
You have to allow your brain to soak in that which is right and good and not just that which is on the news or your bank account or your bills or your relationships, or people that you like or don't like, or people that like you or don't like. You've got to stop doing that. I've got to stop. We've got to stop doing this. This is not me telling you. This is me encouraging all of us. I'm not your pastor. I'm your big brother, or I'm your younger brother, depending on how old you are. And the bottom line is we need to meditate. We need to cook these things in our mind. We need to be contemplating and focusing on them. So what are we talking about when he's saying, what kind of things do you meditate on? All the things that Paul had just enumerated, the things about encouragement and doctrine and the word, all of those things need to be meditated on. Don't just read the Bible and then get in your car and say, well, I've given God his time. I'm done. That's a problem, right? That's not the intent. The intent is not to read so you can hear the Lord go, good boy, good girl. We're supposed to let these things process in us, be a part of us, contemplating these things. And by the way, included with that is exactly what Paul said. It's any different. It's the prophecy that he received by the laying out of hands. He's supposed to think about that. When's the last time you sat there and analyzed and thought and meditated on an answer to prayer? Just listen to what I said. Don't jump ahead. Just listen. When the Lord answered you, okay, if you didn't write it down, which is, you know, I think you should write it down. It's just my personal opinion, you know. That's right. Two Jews, three opinions. That's how it goes. If you didn't write it down, then at the minimum, We should be meditating and contemplating and considering these awesome things that God has done in our life. That mind time feeds our faith to be stronger in Him and gets away some of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Cloudy, yucky, dirty, grossy stuff that's in our brains and implanted there that we need to clean out. I mean, you know, Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8 talks about not being anxious for everything and to think on certain things. You know what the things that you're not supposed to think on is? The sinful things, the things that hurt you, the wounding. That's not what you're supposed to concentrate on. It's the things that you read, the things that the Lord shows you, the answers to prayer, the blessings that He grants you in giving you insight and doctrine and wisdom, and the exhortations. I'll just ask you this question straight out. If the Lord is in the room, you just answer, be honest with Him. How many times has God encouraged you? How many of those things are you contemplating? How many of those things do you meditate on? That's not to guilt you. That's to spur each other on. That's to encourage each other, push each other. He doesn't even stop there, by the way. Verse 15, he goes, meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them. What? What? That seems like a lot of commitment to it. That your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. The penetration of this meditation is so powerful, it impacts other people in your life. But guess who it won't impact? It won't impact other people in your life if it doesn't impact you. How's that? I mean, you can't. Well, I'm really paying attention to this answered prayer. Oh, no, I'm not. But you should, because I'm sharing it with you, pal. It's like, that doesn't work that way. And so these are the things. And I love this idea. That such a great, great picture of the word meditate. Cook it in your mind. Put it in your, just like your oven of your mind. Just stick it in there and turn it on. 777 or 333 or 888 and just let it cook.
I like that, Dave. Let it bake.
Let it bake in your brain, because then it becomes a part of your thinking process. Then it becomes a part of you. And what are we talking about but the testimonies, the things of God that take priority? It's a difficult battle. We talked about this last week, between the flesh, the carnal man, and the new man. It's a difficult battle. People are like, well, that doesn't really exist. That's why it's referenced 30 or 40 times in the New Testament, because it doesn't exist. See, stop doing that. Stop buying one person's doctrinal thing because it makes it sound like Christianity is just so easy. The scripture says, through many tribulations, one must enter the kingdom of God. And I don't hear them quoting that ever. That's not the point. The point is simply this. Forward you go, making the progress, meditating on the things of God, and letting those things permeate your heart and your mind so that the other things that have hurt you don't take up so much residency and space in your processes. I think all that out of that, yep. Actually, you could have done that whole thing just out of the word meditate. That's why that's hilarious. So here's what I want you to catch out of this whole thing, out of this whole process. Look. Just listen, pay attention to reading. Pay attention to exhortations. Pay attention to these doctrinal truths that Jesus loved you so much that He laid His life down for you. He laid His life down for you while you were still sinners. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So if we've all sinned, we all deserve to die. But Romans 6:23, the other half says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now watch this. Romans 5:8. God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you and I to clean up. He did it right from where we're at. And the response is this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Remember, we talked about this the other day. You have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. You have been justified, you are being sanctified, you will be glorified. And this is the work of God. These are the things that we need to focus in on. These are the things we need to hang our hats on.
these truths, these realities. God has encouraged you. Meditate on that. When you were all alone and you just thought there was no hope, the Lord brought hope. Remember that, because that's an anchor to the soul. All right, folks, for those in San Diego, you can keep listening to the show if you go to hemustincrease.org. Otherwise, listen to the fantastic shows that are on your station. For those that are here in Texas, we'll take a short break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
For this is the kind of high priest we need. Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day, as high priests do, first for their own sins and then those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered himself. Now watch this. Oh boy, this is so unbelievable. Jesus is a unique kind of priest. He is your high priest. He is so unique. And you think, well, why? What is it that makes Jesus unique? And you already know, well, it's because he's, you know, born from the Holy Spirit and he's born from Mary. So he's fully man, fully God. And it's like, okay, I get that part. But there's something else that we miss quite often. And that is Jesus is undefiled, separated from sinners. And verse 27 says he doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day like the high priests do, first for their own sins. So let me explain this to you. When priests or petitioners or people are praying on your behalf, every human being has to deal with their own set of sins. It doesn't matter if it's the high priest of Israel. It doesn't matter if it's the high priest 1 year, 20 years later, 40 years later. There is something that takes place. It's the same dynamic that takes place when you spend time with the Lord and you come before the Lord and you thank him and you recognize the grace of God enables you to stand, because apart from that, the grace, apart from the mercy, apart from the love that comes from the Lord and the redeeming work from Jesus Christ that you receive by faith, that he gives by grace, apart from that, you're a mess. And so when you come before the Lord, you're like, Lord, you know, please forgive me. Please don't be mad. Please, you know, don't chasten me. David said it great. Don't chasten me in your hot displeasure. I don't want to get you irritated. Nah, 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 nah. You see, when Jesus comes and petitions for us, he doesn't have to go through that. He doesn't have to be centered on himself to be forgiven, because there's nothing for him to be forgiven. He's sinless. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices for what he's done or for any of the lacking that he would have if he was a regular human priest. So when Jesus comes on our behalf, there's nothing. Get this. Here it is. There's nothing distracting him in his life. He is only focused on our well-being.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.